too, would like to welcome each one here this morning. It's good to see the house well filled. I want to welcome each one here as well, especially the visitors. It's good to have you with us this morning. As I was trying to decide what to have for a message this morning, I was listening to another message, and I was challenged by something that speaker had said. He asked a question. He said, "Did you ever consider who the books of the New Testament were written to?" I had never really thought of it as such, but if you look in many of the New Testament books, first couple verses give the description of who the books were written to, and almost all of them are written either to a church, they are written to the faithful, they are written in James, it talks about they're written to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, which probably means many of the Christians that were scattered because of persecution. Paul wrote to Timothy, my son Timothy. Many of the books that were written in the New Testament were written to faithful people. They were written to the church. And within those books, we find many doctrines, we find many teachings that we hold dear. And there are warnings in those books as well. And this morning, I guess the message that I felt the Lord leading me to share this morning was a message where if you open your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 3, verse 12, I'll just start with this verse and we'll come back to this chapter later. But in chapter 3, verse 12, there's a warning that was given, and it's interesting to me to note that the book of Hebrews starts out that in verse 1 and 2, start with those verses first. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in the time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. In the last days he has spoken to us. And I'd like to make that personal for us this morning, because as many of the books were in the New Testament were written to churches, to the faithful, I'd like to bring this message to that group of people this morning. I believe we are a group of people here that are endeavoring to be faithful. But there is a warning in chapter 3, verse 12 of Hebrews. It says, take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. The title of the message this morning is Steadfast in the Faith. And I guess the burden that I would have this morning is that we would be a people that know the truth, live the truth, defend the truth, and be unashamed of the truth. And the New Testament has quite a lot to say about being steadfast. There are different ways in which it describes it. I believe in the New Testament alone, there are the phrase stand fast is used 6 times. Hold fast is used 7 times. And steadfast is used 7 times. And besides that, there are phrases such as in James that talks about not wavering like the wave of the sea, and other places in scripture that talks about being tossed to and fro, and all those different verses. But why the warnings? Why the warnings? To be steadfast, the encouragement to be steadfast, the warnings of falling away. I believe one of the reasons there were many warnings is because God knew human people. God knew humans, and he knew the tendency to become complacent. He knew the tendency to maybe cool off. He knew that what happens when we rub shoulders with society that does not believe in God on a daily basis. It has a way of cooling us off spiritually. To be steadfast and to hold fast and to stand fast. Sometimes, possibly, we shy away from some of those things because it may make us look like we're radical. We feel intimidated. And so we want to fit in. And so we try to accommodate some things, possibly, so we don't stand out so much. 1 Peter 5, verse 8 says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour." We have an adversary this morning, and he is looking for ways to make an inroad into each of our lives. And he's looking for an inroad into our church. And he's looking into an inroad, he's looking for an opening in any way he can find it to get into a life and cool it off spiritually. You know, if you're involved in business life, I've often been told that if your business is not growing by X percent a year, I know what it used to be, I'm not quite sure with all the inflation now what it is now, but if it's not growing by a certain percentage a year, it's going backwards, it's dying. And I wonder, can we apply that statement to our Christian life? If we are not growing, are we living? Are we dying? And so I wonder if being steadfast in the faith, what is the status of my faith? What is the status of my desire to defend the truth and be unashamed of it? You know, I'm sure we have all observed individuals that maybe one day walked with God and no longer are there today. And I don't know if it's always this way, but it seems to me like there's many times when individuals start departing from truth is often when the first steps are cooling off in different ways, and that expresses itself in many different ways. But one of the ways I believe it expresses itself is in being critical of godly heritage and not appreciating what they have been given. And I have found, and I'm sure you have seen it too, that individuals that do not appreciate a godly heritage soon lose an appreciation for godliness itself. And it happens time and time again. And while we can look at history and all that we've been given, and which we are thankful for, we realize that it's not perfect. There has been stories in the history of Christianity and Anabaptism that weren't always what they should have been. But yet, I believe it doesn't give us the grounds to throw away the good either. In 2 Thessalonians 2, 13 to 15, there are a couple verses that warn us in relation to some of this. And I just like to read them. I won't spend much time here. It says in verse 13 of 2 Thessalonians 2, it says, "But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which ye have been taught, whether by word or our epistle." These traditions, I believe, that he was talking about here were most likely the teachings they had received from the apostles or from other faithful people, whether it's through written letter or through word. And he was admonishing them that not to lightly discard the things that they were taught, but rather to uphold them and hold what they have been taught. I'd like to look at these three phrases that I mentioned: stand fast, hold fast, and steadfast. The phrase stand fast has the idea of being stationary, to persevere. To hold fast means a lot of just what it looks like. It's to hold down, to seize, to retain, to possess. To hold fast. We hold on to something that we do not want to lose. We hold on to what we feel is important, what we believe is important. What is important to you and I this morning? Oftentimes when I think about this phrase, holding fast, it gives me the picture in my mind of someone who possibly is struggling in the water, and someone throws out a life ring, and the only hope he has is that life ring, and he holds on for dear life. Why? It's because without that life ring, he loses his life. Steadfast, to be settled, to be sure or unchanging. I'd like to look at two verses this morning for a text. They're in two different books of the Bible, but in 1 Corinthians 16, verse 13. It's the first one. Just a short verse, but I believe it's very important. Verse 13 of 1 Corinthians chapter 16 says, "Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be strong." To me, that verse speaks of something that is spoken with authority. Watch ye. It's a command. Stand fast. That's a command. Quit you like men. Be strong. Another command. Watch ye. What does that have? What does that mean? I believe this verse, I believe, has somewhat the connotation of watch ye, especially this phrase, has the idea of being awake or being vigilant. It has the thought of a military guard, or a guard in the military that is on station, that is observing the movements of the enemy. Observing the movements of the enemy and knowing so that his side knows how to respond. Someone who is watching is on alert and is on alert is not easily surprised by the attacks of the enemy. To stand fast in the faith is to be firm in the truth, hold on to the truth, defend the truth, make it a part of who you are. Quit you like men is to be a man. Be bold. Be strong. Not to be timid. Brave, not timid. Not a coward. And just for interest's sake, I looked up the word coward, although we probably know what it means. But sometimes it just helps me anyway to get a different perspective or just clarify in my mind. The definition of coward is a person who lacks the courage to do or endure dangerous or unpleasant things. So how can defending the gospel be a dangerous or an unpleasant thing? Well, I don't have all the answers, but I trust it's not. But sometimes defending the gospel means that we are honest and that we maybe say some things and warn people, and maybe we admonish someone, and sometimes the responses are not always pleasant. Are we going to be a coward? Are we going to do what we are called to do? Be strong, be firm, fixed and steadfast. Hebrews 10, verse 23 is the other text verse I'd like to read. It says, "Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. For he is faithful that promised." Again, the thought of holding fast is to retain, to not let go, to keep in memory. And I found it interesting that this phrase, without wavering, has the thought of not leaning. Not leaning. How strong is a wall that leans? Who of us would have been comfortable building this building on a foundation wall, on a wall, the foundation, the basement, on a wall that leaned? How much strength is a wall that leans? How much strength has those of us that have cattle and we have a fence post? How strong is a leaning fence post? It's not very strong. As long as it's straight, there's strength. Same way with a wall. As long as it's straight, there is strength. And so the Hebrew writer here is telling us to hold fast the profession of our faith without leaning, without doubting, without question. Accept the word of God for what it is and believe it and apply it to our lives. You know, there are different things that can cause a wall to lean. It can be faulty construction, a wall that's possibly even constructed properly. Just the wall itself, sometimes over time it will start to lean. And oftentimes we know why that happens. It's because of the foundation that is under that wall has started to shift, or maybe the ground that is around that foundation was not solid. And there was something going on underneath that caused the wall to lean. It caused the wall to lose its integrity and not be trustworthy. So how vital is it to our Christian life this morning that we are steadfast, that we are straight, and that we stand fast? Well, in 1 Thessalonians 3, verse 8, it says, "For now we live, if ye stand fast in the Lord." To stand fast, I believe, is vitally important to the success of our Christian walk this morning. I'd like to read the first 15 verses of Hebrews chapter 3. I'd like to go back to Hebrews 3 and read the first 15 verses. There are two verses, especially in these verses here, that stood out to me as I was studying. Verse 1 of chapter 3 says, "Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus, who is faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house. For this man was counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who hath builded the house hath more honor than the house. For every house is builded by some man, but he that built all things is God. And Moses verily was faithful in all his house as a servant, for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after. But Christ as a son over his own house, whose house are we, And this is one of the verses. If we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. Therefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation in the day of temptation in the wilderness. When your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. And that's the other verse. While it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. Again, pointing out the verse 6, that, but as Christ is a son over his own house, whose house are we, if we hold fast? If we hold fast the confidence and rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. What does it say about a person that is holding fast? A person that holds something fast, I believe, is sincere. I believe also that when somebody holds something fast, that it shows not necessarily, I don't believe we are necessarily saved by just being steadfast. But I believe the steadfastness shows how genuine our faith is and how important it is to us. I believe he places a value in what he is holding on to. That phrase, rejoicing of the hope, has stood out to me as well. It's a current reality. The holding fast and rejoicing of the hope is a current reality. When we're rejoicing, it's current. Galatians 5 verse 1 says, stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. I believe when there is freedom, or when there is liberty, or freedom from sin, there is rejoicing. There is rejoicing, even in the midst of standing for truth and possibly facing opposition, there is a joy that goes with it. That I believe only comes from God himself. Verse 14, to holding the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. The beginning of our confidence. I had to wonder, what is that? And my mind went to Revelation 2, verse 5. And here we have the words to the church at Ephesus. And you probably know what is written here. But Revelations 2, 1 to 5, it says, unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles, and are not. And hast found them liars, and hast borne, and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored, and hast not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. Could it be that the beginning of our confidence is our first love? Could that be a right interpretation of that? The first love, what is our first love? Do we remember the time when we accepted Christ as our Savior and that peace that flooded our soul? The joy, the happiness. And I realize maybe some of these feelings possibly should never completely leave us, but maybe they're not quite as sharp as they were at one time. But the reality that we know that we are saved because of our sins are forgiven. And he alone is our salvation. Christ is. Christ is all that we need. I believe we must never forget that a personal relationship with Jesus Christ is at the heart of standing for truth. It's at the heart of standing fast. It's the heart of holding fast and of being steadfast. Galatians 5, verse 13. It says, "For brethren, we have been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another." Well, I believe it's vitally important that for us to, as individuals, to stand for truth, it starts with a relationship with Jesus Christ and having our sins forgiven and being at one with him. But I believe there's also another very important principle I think we need to remember, that in order to be steadfast, I believe, while it's possible, I believe, that God gives us the strength to be steadfast and to be true on our own, and we need to be, but the reality is that we need the encouragement and we need the accountability of being a part of a church and being a part of a group of people that they also have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, and that they have and that they help us in walking this walk of faith and in being steadfast. And the verses I read in Hebrews also has a verse in the 13th verse of Hebrews 3. Speaks to this as well. "But exhort one another daily what is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin." The reality of it this morning is that sin is deceitful, and sometimes we do not see everything that we should until someone approaches us about it. In our own lives, and we trust that we can be the same to our brothers and sisters as well in return. But there is safety. I believe we cannot underestimate the power and safety of accountability to each other. At least I find it that way. That I need the accountability of others. I need to be accountable to others. As I think about this thought of standing steadfast for the faith, standing steadfast for truth, standing steadfast in the Word of God, and we think about having a relationship with Christ ourselves, in being right with him, and also being a part of a broader group of people that also have a relationship with Christ. I had to think about as we think about being together in something, the power and the strength that can come from that. And I realize some of you know horses better than I do, but I did just a little bit of research. As we think about being a team, that's what I'm trying to think about. They say a draft horse by itself can pull approximately 8,000 pounds. And so if you put two of them together, what do you think? Probably 16,000, right? from my research, and maybe some of you that know horses better can correct me later if I'm wrong, but according to this research, a team that is properly trained and harnessed together can pull approximately 24,000 to 32,000 pounds. One horse can pull 8,000. Two horses can pull 24 to 32,000. 3 to 4 times of what someone can do by, or what a horse can do by itself. And so you probably wonder, how does this apply to being steadfast in the faith? While each of us have our place to fill, and each of us can do our part in reaching individuals, in spreading the gospel, and maintaining the gospel, and standing up for the truth, if we're part of a congregation, a part of a church, that they all have that desire, how much farther can we go? How much farther, maybe not we can go, but how much farther can the kingdom of God go? If we pull together, if we have the same goals, if we want the same thing, how much farther can the kingdom of God go if we are working together? And I believe that this illustration of working as a team can apply to church life. What is our vision? Where do we want to go? And are we willing as a team to commend each other, to submit to each other, and to work together for the furtherance of the kingdom of God? And I trust we are. I believe not only are we personally responsible to build for our own faith, but I believe there's a sense of responsibility that we should feel for our brothers and sisters as well, that we do our part in trying to build each other up in the faith. In 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58, says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." I like that verse. Be steadfast, unmovable. Be solid. Take the Bible, take the Word of God for what it says. Make present day applications and simply follow it and obey it. And again, I want to read 1 Thessalonians 3, verse 8, "For now we live if we stand fast in the Lord." I believe that someday the results of being steadfast, of standing fast, of holding fast, will be rewarded. We can see some results in this life, but I believe it will only be shown in the next generation, in the world to come. And my burden this morning is that we would stand fast so we can accomplish what God has for us until He comes. So may we take this as a challenge this morning. It's a challenge to me. It's my burden that we would never lose out, that we'd be faithful.